our theme. The theme of this year's luncheon is Spring into Recovery, Grow Your Serenity. I know there's not a banner for it, but it was on your tickets, it was on the flyers. I would like to share with you the AA reading on which this theme was based, and that we believe captures its essence. The reading is from page 89 in the chapter Working with Others. In the context of working with others, the text reads as follows. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. And with that, I am now going to introduce our Al-Anon speaker I've had the pleasure of knowing for just a couple of years, and I'm really excited that she said yes, Kathy T. from Santa Maria. Yay!
The first thing I'm going to read is something that my husband says to me quite often. And he says, if it weren't for alcoholics, there would be no Al-Anon. So I responded, if there weren't for alcoholics, we would need Al-Anon. Okay, tit for tat, right? I'll begin by saying I have been a member of Al-Anon for 25 years. And thank you. Thank you. And my husband will have 40 years of sobriety in May. So, you know what? Our numbers are looking good. My first husband, I married when I was 20, and his mom was an alcoholic. But he was not. He never drank. It just turned him off. So we got married, and we were married 23 years. And around 10 years, I noticed a real shift in his personality. There was a lot of bitterness and unhappiness and anger and not showing any empathy at all. And he just was a different man, most of the time angry. We lost friends over his anger, and it was a mess. So I stayed for another 13 years because people said, "Oh, whatever. Over the years," and I said, "No, that's not what happened." So anyway, we ended up getting divorced, and then I met my current husband now. Many of you know him, Victor, and I had a couple dates with him, and he said, "I need something to tell you." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "I'm in recovery." And I didn't know hardly anything about that. I knew AA, and they had steps. That's it. Okay. So he said, "They're having a big convention, and if you would like to go, you're invited, and we're going to have good speakers, and there's going to be..."
What's the name? Microphone.
It's not on?
No,
just stop. Oh. Talking too loud, maybe.
No, it
died. I didn't even hear it die.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Another the yellow one, Cassie?
Neither one.
Put some bass into it.
Try the yellow one.
Nope.
Switch on.
Well,
you look so adorable in your shirt now.
Okay. All right. I've gone up or down.
It's a bad battle
exhibit. Well, we'll just use
this one.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
Straight it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did everybody hear everything so far? Or
yeah.
Okay. You didn't get cut out. All right. So we went to this convention, and they had speakers, and they had great hospitality, and they had dance afterwards with a band, and it was so much.
Up, up, up. There we go.
22.
There you go.
Okay.
Try that.
Anyway, it was great, and I liked what I saw. I saw a lot of people who were very happy, and they helped with the cleanup, put things back. And they were just doing service, and it was great. And I love that part of it, what I saw. And so Al-Anon, Victor said, well, you know, there's something called Al-Anon that you might be interested in. They have meetings. And I said, okay. I didn't know what that was about either. So I started going to Al-Anon meetings, but I just didn't get much out of it because I come from a non-alcoholic family. There was no alcohol in my family at all. So I wasn't relating to the stories or the readings of alcoholic, kept practicing alcoholics. So I always felt I didn't fit in. Because what story did I have? I didn't have a story about an alcoholic, you know. But at one Al-Anon speaker meeting, a woman described her husband and his traits, which were just like my first husband. And then I knew what was going on at that time. So I did not know that, you know, the Al-Anon traits can follow to a different person, or to a son or whatever. And they may not drink. I had no idea that can happen. So he had the alcoholic personality, but he did not drink. So Victor and I get married, and we go to Maui for our honeymoon. And he starts having chest pains about a week before. So we go to his doctor, and he goes, well, I'm going to let you go because it's your honeymoon. But, you know, take it easy. And when you get back, we'll do an angiogram. So we go to Hawaii, and he's eating these little white pills like candy, which opens up stuff. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so we fly, and we get into the lobby, and he says, I got chest pain again. He starts taking the white pills. I go, all right, I'll go get the rental car. You just stay here on the bench. I will pick you up. He says, okay. So we just went to the whole room, hotel room. I think we just hung out that day. And the next day, we were going to do the road to Hana, if any of you guys have been to Hawaii. Yeah. Well, we did that, but I could tell he was not into it. I could tell he didn't enjoy it. So we got home that night, and they said, you know what? At any time, we can go home. Anytime you want to go home, we will go home. And he says, okay. So he woke up the next morning. He says, I want to go home. I said, okay, but I'm going to call my cardiologist first to make sure that, you know, it's okay to do that. I said, that's a good idea. So he called the doctor, and the doctor says, no, you go immediately to emergency. Do not get on a plane. So we did that, and we went to the ER at Maui, and they found out that he had like 3 blockages, and they did not do stents there. They did a stents over in Oahu. So this was 25 years ago, so I think stents had kind of just come out.
Mike.
Again? It went out. It went out. Okay, it went on again. Yeah, but can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we go to ER. They don't do that there. They say, you have to go over to Maui to get this done. So at 1 in the morning, we're flying to Maui. And we get there at like 1:30, and we are just exhausted. And so I fall asleep in the recliner. He falls asleep in his bed. He's doing fine. So I slept on the recliner. You guys still can't hear?
No.
Speak up.
You
got
to speak up.
Man.
Nope.
All right. So we get to the hospital, and I wake up the next morning, and I look down and I go, oh my God, I don't have anything. I don't have my clothes. They're over at the hotel in Maui. I had no toothbrush, no hairbrush, no clothes. I had nothing. And particularly, I had no panties. That was the big thing. No panties. So my sister called, and she said, I'm having them send your luggage over to Oahu, and you can pick it up to the airport. And I go, okay. So meantime, Victor says, you know, I think I want to call AA here and get some support and some help. They said, okay, that sounds good. So he did that, and I got a call that the luggage was there. So I got in a taxi, went and got the luggage, and I came back, and there was a man sitting in the chair next to his bed. And he said, Kathy, this is Bill. And look who God sent me. And he said, Bill, show her. And he unbuttoned his shirt, and, you know, he had had bypass. Victor never said anything about sending somebody over that has had heart disease. So God was taking care of us the whole way. Let me see. And so Bill says, well, you know, I'm going to come back tonight and I'm going to bring my wife. She's Alana. I said, wonderful. So they came back and brought us all these gifts from Hawaii, fanny packs, hats, all this stuff. And they were so loving and so helpful and just made such a difference at that time to have somebody there. And all right, then he says, I'm going to set up a meeting. If I can get a room in this hospital, I'm going to set up a meeting. And I'm going to bring some guys in. We're going to have a meeting. So, okay. And he did it. He had a meeting. And that really helped. It was the day before his procedure. That really helped. And so I kind of took him aside and I said, you know, when he's released, the doctor says he has to be in this area for another 2 days to make sure the stents are okay. We don't have a hotel at all, you know. So if you have any suggestions, would you let me know? He said, yeah, I'll do that. I said, great. So the day of the procedure, Bill and these other people were there for me. And the stent procedure went very well. We were in the lobby, I was sitting there and in the lobby, and all of a sudden the elevator opens up. And I kind of looked up, and here was this young girl, probably in her early 30s, and she was dressed very professionally, and she walked over to me and she said, are you Kathy? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, well, I got a call from Al-Anon that there's someone at the hospital who needs some help in resort, and I'm here on my lunch hour. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that, huh? So I said, thank you so much for coming and supporting us, and chit-chatted with her a little bit, and it was great. So anyway, we hang around for 2 days, and Bill comes to see us once, and he hands us this card, and he said, when you get ready, call the man on this card because he's a taxi cab driver, and he is going to take you to the hotel, and he's one of us. So, okay. And when you get ready to leave the hotel, go to the airport, you call him. He'll take you there too. So we said, all right. So we called him, and he took us to this very nice hotel. They got us a suite. It was very sweet. So then we were going home. So I got home, and I was really not good for about 5 days. It had just caught up to me. But I'm sitting there, and I said to Victor, you know, I want to pay it forward somehow. I want to do something now. And he said, okay. And so we talked about it, and we decided that maybe a meeting in my home would be good. So I did that. And I was slowly finding a way for Al-Anon to work for me. And I found out if I chose the things that talked to me, you know, I could embrace those things. And I loved the 12 steps. There were many things about the program I loved. And if I read something that didn't, I just let that go, you know? And that started to work for me, you know? And I got a sponsor. I did the steps. I started going to more meetings and found a way it could really help me. So if you're new to Al-Anon, I suggest coming several times, or if you feel that you don't fit in, keep coming several times, because I didn't feel like I fit in for a long, long time. And it took me a while to, you know, take what you like and leave the rest type thing. And that's what's worked for me. Okay, in closing, I'd like to share my favorite story about spirituality. I forgot one thing. When Victor got back, and he got back doing things again, every man that he walked into said, I told you not to marry a blonde. And so heard that all week long. Okay. So in closing, I'd like to share my favorite story about spirituality. Right before COVID in 2019, right? What am I saying? I got real sick, and I didn't know what was wrong. And I went to the hospital, and they put me in a room, and they did a bunch of tests, and they said, you have double pneumonia, and you have sepsis. And they said, you will be admitted. And my oxygen level was at 83. It was really low. So I said, all right. So I was laying there, waiting for them to take me to a room. And my husband was next to me, but somehow it felt like I was in this different realm all of a sudden. And I felt him. I felt God with me, definitely. And it just was an unconditional love like I've never felt before. There's like no questions at all. And it was very unjudgmental. If I was going someplace, I was going. I mean, that's how I felt, that I was being accepted. And a lot of peace. I loved it. And I remember talking to him and saying, I love you, and I know you love me. And so he was there, you know, and it was a beautiful, beautiful feeling. And so I went for my follow-up visit to the doctor, and he took out his book, and he says, you were near death. And I said, yeah, I know. I didn't tell him about it, but I said, yeah, I know. So anyway, I don't know how I got that sick, but I'm fine now. And I've come to believe that my God will not protect me from the storm, but believe my God will protect me while I'm in the storm. So I'm going to close with that and thank Karen for asking me to speak.